this will go quick because this is just a family and it's got a whole bunch of names in there that I don't like trying to say. So, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is easy. Does anybody know their Hebrew names? Their Hebrew names are in the Bible. They are difficult to say. I would have counted it a blessing if somebody would change my name to Shadrach or Abednego. Father, we come before your throne to look at your word, Father, to hear from you. Father, you've shown us amazing things to this family. You've shown amazing things to the children, to the children's children. And Father, how in spite of man's longings, in spite of man's understandings and man's ways, you continue over and over to move things around to your goodwill, and we see it yet again in chapter 46. Father, I ask that you'd teach us. Father, we'd open our hearts, and our eyes, and our ears that we may hear what you have to say to your glory and to your praise in Christ's name. In chapter 46, where we're at now is Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers. Pharaoh is in awe, but the family has been reunited. And now that the family is reunited, Pharaoh says, "We have, and it would be easier if your people came to us and lived in our best lands and settled here, and we'll take care of them." And Pharaoh had ordered wagons and all this other stuff to go back to the land of Canaan and pick up Jacob and his family and all of his descendants and bring them back to the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh's basically here saying, "You know what? This one Hebrew in my family has saved us from the famine that is global. So if I've got 11 of them, 12 of them, 13 or more of them, man, this is going to be great. You know, their God seems to be like on top of everything, whereas Ra and some of the others are not quite getting it done. So let's get this Jehovah guy in here and we'll just use him too, and we'll use it through his people." Now, understand, they have one of the things that I think that we struggle with is that we look at the we call them quote unquote ancient civilizations, and we look at them and think they're just ancient civilizations. Egypt was an extremely phenomenal civilization. You can go see the pyramids. You can see the Sphinx. You can see some of the tombs that they built and all these other things. They had actually started with embalming. They were one of the first cultures to embalm people. And so they were an amazing culture. And you have to understand that coming out of Canaan, you've got a bunch of what? What are the Hebrews? Sheep herders. Sheep herders. And you have a bunch of sophisticates in Egypt. Therein lies the problem. Okay? And I'll show you why the problem escalates. All right? Chapter 46. So Israel set out with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba. You'll remember Beersheba in chapter 21 and chapter 28 and chapter 26 and chapter 31. That's a rallying place. And he offered a sacrifice to God of his father Isaac. Okay? And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here I am." I mean, if you're hearing voices from heaven, I'm thinking he knows where you're at. But anyway, and he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation." Okay, so what's going to happen? God's going to be involved again. So they're going to go to Egypt. Jacob's not real sure about this. And Jacob is he's not a spring chicken right here. He is about 130. Okay? And, you know, you want me to go what? Move and relocate and all the rest of it? And he says, "I will go with you and I will make you a great nation. I will go down," verse 4 says, "with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again." Now make a note of that verse. You're not to stay there. I will bring you out. I'll bring you back up. And Joseph will close your eyes. All right? So God in a vision has talked to Jacob. And he says, I am with you. Do not be afraid of this. Okay? Not only that, I am going to take care of you. I am going to raise you up as a great nation, even in the land of Egypt. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry them. They took their livestock and their property which they had acquired in the land of Canaan and came to Egypt, Jacob and all of his descendants with him. His sons, his grandsons with him, his daughters and his granddaughters and all of his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. So understand what was just said. Nobody was left behind. Now the names of the sons of Israel, Jacob and his sons who went to Egypt. And then we go through the lineage. All right. You see that all the way through 27. All right. And he lists them all out there. You see Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. Then the sons of Reuben, Hanok, Palu, Hezron, Carmi. He lists them. All right. This is one of the things that I want you to pay attention to. We get arguments over who wrote the book of Genesis. Okay. I don't find anything difficult about that. And yet we will argue about it. And one of the reasons that they say that they argue over it, that Moses could not have written this. Okay. Do you know when Moses shows up, right? Timeline. We're talking 400 years. He would not have remembered all these people. Sure, he would have. Why? They keep records of it. I mean, you keep records. We have these things called birth certificates. And you have a father and a mother, and it's listed on every birth certificate. Okay, now the Jews knew a promise was coming to them, so they kept track of it. That's one of the things that is amazing about the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. All the records are gone. All right. So, but when you go through this and you look at this, there a lot of people said Moses didn't write this. Now, that's ironic. And they said the reason that Moses didn't write it is the same reason they say Daniel didn't write Daniel. Okay, why? It's too specific. It's too close. All right? And you just sit there and go, "Wait a minute. If God's speaking through the human author, wouldn't it not be specific?" Okay, here's the reason that I believe Moses wrote Genesis. Okay, one simple reason. Jesus said Moses wrote Genesis. Okay, and I'm thinking that that's good enough for me. All right, the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Hobhi, Obda, Jacob, Zor, Shaul, and the son of the Canaanite woman. Okay, the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, Merari, the sons of Judah, Onan, Shelah, and Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Perez are Hezron and Hamul. All right, the sons of Ishtar, Tola, Purva, Ab, Shimron, the sons of Zebulun, Sird, Elon, and Jahil. These are the sons of Leah, who the son she bore in to Jacob in Padanaram, and his daughter Dinah, all of his sons and his daughters, numbered 33. Okay, we got a ton bunch of people right now, and we ain't done yet. The sons of Gad, Zephron, Haggai, Shinai, Esbon, Ere, Adori, Illyria. The sons of Asher, Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, Beri, and their sister Sarah. And their sons Beri, Heber, and Malachi, the Italian prophet. Just kidding. All right. Where am I? The sons of Zilpha, who Laban gave to his daughter Leah, she bore to Jacob, these 16 persons. The sons of Jacob's wife, Rachel, was Joseph and Benjamin. Now Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, whom Asenath, the daughters of Potipharah, the priest of On, bore him. The sons of Benjamin, Bilhah, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, and Rosh, Muphim, Huphim, and Arad. These are the sons of Rachel who were born to Jacob, and there were 14 persons in all. Okay, the sons of Dan, Hisham, the sons of Naphtali, Jezreel, Gunai, Jezer, Shilim. These are the sons of Bilhah, whom Laban gave to his daughter Rachel. And she bore these to Jacob. These were 7 persons in all. And all the persons belonging to Jacob who came to Egypt, his direct descendants, not including the wives of Jacob's sons, were 66 persons in all. Okay, that's not including the wives of Jacob's sons. Okay, and the sons of Joseph who were born him in Egypt were 2, and all the persons of the house of Jacob who came into Egypt were 70. All right, so you got 70 people, Hebrews. Now he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out the way before him to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And as soon as he appeared before him, he fell on his neck and he wept on his neck a long time. Boy, I bet. I bet. Here you thought your son was dead for all those years. And now you find out he's a big grand poobah guy over in another country. Okay. Then Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face and that you still are alive." That's amazing stuff. And again, I want you to understand what is going on here. Who is Joseph and Benjamin's mother? Rachel, right? And it said that he really, really loved Rachel, didn't he? I mean, he loved her so much that what? He was willing to stay an extra 7 years. All right? And that's just something that has always struck me. And then, you know, to have remember he fought for Benjamin. I don't want Benjamin to go. I've already lost the one son from Rachel. Why would I want to lose the second? All right. Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh, and I will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come. And the men are shepherds, for they are keepers of livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come about when the Pharaoh calls to you and says, "What is your occupation?" that you shall say, "Your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, that you may live in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is a low to the Egyptians." Okay, so basically they're segregating. Okay, the Egyptians are aristocrats, sophisticated. The Hebrews are shepherds, herdsmen, keeper of livestock. We do the same thing today. I have an uncle who raises hogs, and that's what he does for a living. And some people say, "Well, that's it." Yeah. You know what? You eat bacon, ham. Now I want you to grab a hold of this, because he says this is loathsome. People who take care of livestock are what? Worthless. Remember what they said about the Galileans? A bunch of hayseeds. They didn't use that word, but they're a bunch of agricultural people. They don't do nothing. How sophisticated are they? What do we see today? You know what? I remember when I was moving to Colorado, and this is like 78, I was preparing in 78 and 79 I moved. Okay? I had people asking me this: where do you shop? I said, "What? Well, where do you get groceries? Where do you think I'm going? I ain't leaving the country." And I mean, they got a professional football team, people. They were in the Super Bowl in 77. Okay, but people, well, what about malls? I mean, that's when they had Cinderella City, you may not remember. That was one of the largest malls in the world. And you just sit there and go, what? They thought, well, you're going out west and you're going to what? I'm going to be a farmer. Okay, and I told them I was going to run forklifts at the airport. That's kind of what I did. But anyway, do you see what I'm trying to get at? We have that mentality. You have the sophisticated. But listen, that mentality sneaks up on the Egyptians. Okay, because here's something that you need to pay attention to. Look what it says in chapter 47. Joseph went in and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers and their flocks and their herds and all that they have come out of the land of Canaan. Behold, they are in the land of Goshen." They're here. And he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What's your occupation?" So they said, now you got to understand that there's big cities and big monuments in existence right now in Egypt. So they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, we both and our fathers." And he said to Pharaoh, "We have come to sojourn in this land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, and the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants live in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is at your disposal. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land, and let them live in the land of Goshen. And if you know any capable men among them, then put them in charge of my livestock." Why? Because your God blesses what you guys do. All right. Now remember, we're still got 5 years of famine left. Okay, we're on the short end of it. All right. All right. Then he says, "Then Joseph brought his father, Jacob, and presented him to Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to him, 'How many years have you lived?' So Jacob says to Pharaoh, 'The years of my sojourning are 130. Now, make a note, because in verse 28, okay, it says that he lived 17 years. So he died when he was 147. All right? And we'll pick that up in a minute. All right. So he says here, "Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life, nor have they attained the years of my fathers lived during the days of their sojourning." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers, and he gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the lands, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had ordered. Now, it's not Ramses the Pharaoh, but it is in the lands of Ramses. And a lot of times they'll try to, anyway. Lands of is a designation for Goshen. It's used by Moses. It's an area. You'll see it in Exodus chapter 1. All right. So here we go. Joseph provided his father and his brothers and all of his father's household with food according to their little ones. Okay. Now there was no food in all the land. Okay. So we're still deep in this thing. Joseph is taking care of his family. Okay. Now there's no food in all the lands because the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. It was awful, people. It makes the dust bowl look robust. Okay, plentiful. This is a very difficult time. Remember, there's 7 years of blessing and 7 years of famine. And now we're moving in to, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh year. And it's getting tough. It's getting tough, even for the Egyptians. Look what happens in verse 14. Joseph gathered all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for grain. Do you understand what he just stated there? People have spent their last penny. There was nothing to be raised. It was all being bought. So now, guess what? The treasury of Pharaoh has all the money. Okay? Now watch what happens. in the land of Canaan for the grain which they had bought, and Joseph had brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So Pharaoh now has all the money. When the money was all spent in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us food, for why should we die in your presence?" Okay, there's that loathing thing. All right, you're a Hebrew. Why should we die? Okay, for our money is gone. We spent all of our money. The Egyptians had spent every last red nickel. Okay, to get through the famine. Then Joseph said, "Give up your livestock, and I will give you food for your livestock, since your money is gone." So they brought up their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them food in exchange for horses and for the flocks and the herds and the donkeys, and he fed them with food in exchange for all of their livestock. That, did you see that? That year. In 1 year's time, the Egyptians, now you've got a few years' time where you spent all your money. But in 1 year's time, all of their livestock was now in possession of Pharaoh. Okay? When the year was ended, they came to him the next year and said, "We will not hide from my Lord that our money is all spent and the cattle are my Lord's. There is nothing left for my Lord except our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land?" Okay, the land is dying. It ain't producing nothing. Okay? "Why should we die before your eyes? Buy us and our land for food, and we and our land will be slaves to Pharaoh." Now watch what just happened. "So give us seed that we may live and not die, and that the land may not be desolate." Now remember what happened when Joseph interpreted the dreams. 7 years of plentiful, 7 years of drought. Okay, in the years of plentiful, how many of the Egyptians stored up from their own? They had to pay, remember they had to give to Pharaoh's coffers, right? So it is obvious that they didn't, what? They didn't save anything. They weren't prepared for the, even though they knew when they would bring their fruits and their, you know, their offerings to Pharaoh, when they brought that stuff in, guess what? Pharaoh's saving this stuff up. Why? Well, he says in 7 years there's going to be, you know, we're going to have 7 years of blessing. What happens in this country? Okay. Do you know what happened 2 years ago in this country that just started? And what hasn't happened since the late 20s? You could buy groceries on credit. Did you know that? In the 20s, just before the Great Depression, guess what you could do? Credit. Have you ever heard the term the roaring 20s? What was it? You had a stock market. You had, everything was flourishing. Everybody had cash. Everybody had money. And everybody was having a good time. All right? Did anybody prepare? No. No. What happened? People started losing their farms, started losing their businesses, started losing everything that they had, all because of what? This is not a normal, this is not a phenomenon. This is nature. All right? Now then, what you have is a nation, the nation of Egypt, who was under Pharaoh. You had people who owned livestock, you had people who owned land and all the rest of it. And as the famine got longer and longer, it was going to go 7 years. As it went longer and longer, what happened? They had to start selling everything. And the land may not be desolate. So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh's got to be saying, "Man, this is great. This is great. For every Egyptian sold his field because the famine was severe upon them. Thus the land became Pharaoh's. As for the people," do you see what just happened? "The people couldn't take care of themselves. They thought they were sophisticated. They were living the high life. They were doing the same thing that you see in this country on a regular basis. As for the people, he removed them to where? To the cities, from one end of Egypt's borders to the other. Only the land of the priest he did not buy, for the priest had an allotment from Pharaoh, and they lived off the allotment which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their land. When Joseph said to the people, "Behold, I have today brought you and your land for Pharaoh. Now, here is seed for you, and you may sow the land. At harvest you shall give a fifth to Pharaoh, and four-fifths shall be your own for seed of the field and for your food and for those of your household and food for your little ones." So they said, "You have saved our lives. Okay, let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's slaves." Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt, valid to this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth. Only the land of the priest did not become Pharaoh's. Now Israel lived in the land of Egypt, in Goshen, and they acquired property in it and were fruitful and became very numerous. Did you see what happened? The sheep herders got the land of Goshen and was prosperous. But remember what? Remember when Jacob was in Beersheba? God said, "I will go with you and I will prosper you." When the time for Israel to die drew near, he called his son Joseph and said to them, "Please, if I have found favor in your sight, place your hand under my thigh and deal with me in kindness and faithfulness. Please do not bury me in Egypt. But when I lie down with my fathers, you shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." And he said, "I will do as you have said." So he's called his kids to come. We make a promise and they swear to it. He said, "Swear to me." So he swore to him. Then Israel bowed in worship at the head of the bed. And I'll deal with that next week. But I want you to think about what has just taken place. Very quickly, too, if you really think about it. Okay? 7 years of prosper. Okay, in Egypt, and everybody had to give a fifth to Pharaoh. It was a command. Understand that name Pharaoh is deity. It's a deified name. It's sort of like Caesar. It's a deity. It's a they are either God or God is on them. All right. Now he's brought his family in. There's been reconciliation for the family because this is what God's plan was. He takes them to the land of Egypt, and the Egyptians do like every other human being I've ever seen. When they have a land of plenty, they will use up the plenty instead of stockpiling it away. All right. And what happened is by the midway point of the famine, they have to liquidate everything, literally everything, all their possessions. And then they're given seed. And then from that point on, they become servants to Pharaoh, a whole nation. Okay? And yet, you have the intervention of God right in the middle of this. And he is taking care of his covenant people. His covenant people. How faithful is God? Even in the midst of these people who consider them loathsome. Loathsome. All right. So now you see what's set up in the history of Joseph and now how he is very important in the land of Egypt. And yet throughout the whole text, he understood where that power came from, that privilege came from. Even in the midst of all of the ugliness that he has been through, he got to see his father again and live among them. And not only that, provide for his family in a way that his family couldn't understand. Not only that, he asked them, "If you got any servants in your family, will you take care of Pharaoh's lifestyle?" It's sort of like Paul when he gets arrested, gets put in with the Praetorian Guard to guard him. The Praetorian Guard is the bodyguards for who? Caesar. Okay, and there he is, changed to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day and sharing nothing but the gospel. So it gives a whole new meaning to captive audience or jail ministry. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your faithfulness in the midst of so many things. Lord, I lift up those who are traveling. And Father, I just pray that you have mercy on them. Father, that their hearts and their minds would not stray from you, and that they would linger and long for you, but even more. Father, I thank you that you brought the Barretts back, and I saw Al last night, and I just praise you for that. And Father, may we be faithful. Father, as we press through this time, may we understand that you're building your church. And Father, we study your word. We draw upon the deep things of God. Father, we draw upon your wisdom, your ways. And Father, your logic defies us. And yet, Father, we press on. Father, I just praise you. I love you. May our love grow with every breath you grace us. To your glory and praise. Amen.